Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm going to be with you all the way through until 10 p.m. this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a guest. He's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. He is a trilingual Malaysian who can't seem to make up his mind between English and Bahasa Melayu. Jamal Raslan is his name. He is a spoken word poet. He's a bit of a conundrum, this one. We'll be getting more out of him a little bit later on. One thing I do like about him, I can tell you this straight off the bat. I had a quick chat with him a little bit before the show. He loves to talk. And that's always a great thing. I love the art of conversation. I think we're going to have a nice one this afternoon, this evening. Anyway, giveaway, as usual, 016-201-9000. We are giving away two single patty sets free of charge from our friends over at My Burger Lab. I'll ask you a very quick question throughout the show. I'll need your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with Jamal Raslan after these messages. You are listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm joined in the studio by Jamal Raslan.
Yes.
He, from what I gather on this, I've got like this little cheat sheet here, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. I don't know if this came from you or from your PR company, but it says, a trilingual Malaysian who can't seem to make up his mind between English and Bahasa Melayu, Jamal Raslan is a spoken word poet that is a great example of the conundrum, who is the current Malaysian youth, modern, exposed yet struggling to find a sense of belonging in the identity crisis that rocks every speaking Malay Muslim.
Every English speaking Malay Muslim.
Right.
I don't have a PR company. I can't afford one. I wrote it myself.
You wrote that yourself?
Yeah.
It's great, though.
Thank you.
Right. Where do you find yourself struggling then, Jamal?
It all starts with language. I'm someone who is a trilingual, so I speak at proficient levels Malay, Bahasa Melayu, English, and Mandarin. I went to a Chinese primary school. I went to an English kindergarten. And I have done a lot of writing and theatre in Malay. So I'm perfectly comfortable expressing and articulating myself in any of these three languages at competent speed, meaning I can do that socially, in social situations. So a lot of people tend to sort of like peg you down based on what you wear or how you sound.
You're right.
So that's where I'm struggling, because people couldn't really figure out which space do I come from, where I belong to? And then that becomes interesting or heated conversation eventually.
I don't see how that would... Well, maybe it could cause a little bit of confusion, I guess. But I think the ability to converse in three languages comfortably is... Surely that's a bonus, right?
I still think so. In fact, it's not even a bonus. It's I think it's almost necessary in this current times. But I think the idea of someone being able to do that scares a lot of people, especially those who are not familiar with that very notion.
Right.
And for those who peg their identity or belonging to the way they dress, the way they behave, the way they speak, when they see an example of the opposite right in front of them, they feel as if it's as if they are being attacked. This is not like a slight on them. It's just a natural human feeling, right? So, I mean, for me, I deal with it by trying to understand where they come from and try to use that very thing that scares them, language, to bridge that gap.
Right. I mean, obviously I'm English, you know, and the way that our schooling system
works. Couldn't really tell just now you were English.
I know, right?
Sounded Penangite.
A little bit. The way in which my schooling system worked back then was you were elected to learn a second language when you were 11 years old, up until the age of 13. Mm. And we got very little choice. The choices at that time were English and French. Yeah. French and German. Eventually it became, you know, a little bit more cool to learn a bit of Spanish, you know. people going abroad and living in Spain, so that became the next de facto language to learn. Mm. Now, of course, you move over to Asia, where a lot of people, you know, are bilingual, trilingual, quadlingual, whatever. Many, many people. And when I first came here, particularly to Malaysia, and I saw how so many people spoke so many different languages and so many different dialects, I looked at that as, that is like a national treasure. You know, that is something that genuinely, there are very few countries worldwide that can actually say they have citizens who could speak in so many languages, right? Why then do you think it's an issue that scares people still?
Like I said, I mean, when people usually fear what they don't understand.
Right. Is it because they think you're more higher educated than them, and that you're going to talk down to them or something?
That could be one of it. I mean, when I'm doing camps, a lot of the kids, when they share what their inhibitions, their fears, I'm afraid to speak in English because people will judge me. I'm afraid to speak in English because they think I'm showing off. I'm afraid to speak in English because they say that I'm haram. I've gotten things like that, and I think that's just it. That therein lies the problem. People seem to peg truth to things that are material and physical that they can see and that they're familiar with. Mm. If I've seen this for my entire life, then that must be true. And when they see somebody doing something else and not showing any kind of an awkwardness or discomfort or remorse, they feel as if it's almost blasphemous.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's just it. While they know that you're not putting them down, they feel as if it's something that they're not used to seeing, so they're very uncomfortable to see that somebody that seemingly looks the same can express themselves in a completely different and alien foreign manner that they may have grown up to believe that is wrong.
Right.
So I think that could be it.
Okay, I like that. Obviously you are a poet. You have an EP out as well, right?
I have an EP out.
I mean, that's something I want to touch on a little bit later on, actually. But,
all right.
But before we do that, I'm going to take a short break. I think the very idea of people being comfortable or uncomfortable, being able to converse in English and in a number of different languages, I think is a topic that kind of gets raised so often in one way or another here, you know. And whether or not it's a DPM speaking at speaking over in Europe or something like that, you know, and the amount of flack that he got for that, you know, and whatever side of the fence that you sit on, somebody who has the confidence or not to stand up in front of an audience like that and do it, you know, I think that's something we'll talk about later.
Inshallah, yeah, we will.
All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I have to take a very short break. We are giving away stuff from our friends over at My Burger Lab. You can win yourself 2 single patty sets free of charge. All you have to do is answer this simple question. What is the title of Jamal's EP? You won't know yet unless you've Googled him. I'll give you the answer at the end of the show. 016-201-9000. That's a number to remember. I need your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9 at the Business Station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is
Jamal Ruslan.
He is with us all the way through until 10 p.m. Folks, a quick reminder, we do have a giveaway, 016-201-9000. The question is, what are the title of Jamal's EP? We'll give you the answer at the end of the show. If you want to take part, I need your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. So, Jamal, we kind of ended on a break about, we were talking about public speaking, English public speaking, for example. You know, the Deputy Prime Minister in Europe was speaking a while ago. People mocked him for his bad English, right? And we've just mentioned very briefly in that break as well, one of our football players is overseas, and he's received some flack as well. I mean, what is it? I mean, is it a confidence problem? Is it an education problem? Where would you kind of put yourself in that situation?
See, the thing about this country is that a lot of problems are systemic, but when you say systemic, you have to put ecosystem as part of that.
Yeah.
All right? So it's a bit of everything. It's a bit of the education. When you say education, you obviously have the formal education system, which is your schools.
Yeah.
An extension of that would be your tuition centers, your language centers, your anything else, your university, colleges, blah, blah, blah. And then you have your informal education ecosystem or places like the house, the society, your friends, extracurricular work from school. where you try and apply the things that you've learned in the formal education bit. So there's a problem with that. I think everybody knows that. It's well documented. It might not be as focused or as clear as we'd have liked, but it's out there. And then you have people. And when you say people, everything from confidence to fear to bias, discrimination to attitude is in there. So without derailing this conversation, I mean, it's all encompassing. You need to address that. And there is no one-size-fits-all solution to this. Mm. You have to take it to a certain degree case-by-case basis. So you have to spend a lot of time and you have to give a lot of space so that you can find out which groups of people are facing what kind of problems with regards to language and then address that specifically first before you then see any other solutions that can be complementary that you can offer.
I mean, for people who are listening at home wondering why I'm talking to a poet about, you know, communicating in English or one thing or another, you're involved with quite a bit in terms of education, you know, English Jour and a few other bits and pieces that you're working on as well. I mean, it's something clearly you're passionate about as well. Where does that passion stem from then? I mean, before we move on to poetry, which is essentially why you're here, you know, what is it for you that you feel so, why so passionate about it?
Okay. I guess the question about identity and belonging has been on the back of my mind for the longest time. I never really consciously struggled with fitting in. The thing that I struggled about was trying too hard to fit in.
Right.
And that was sort of like the first lens that I started seeing all these identity issues that I like to write about with. And then as I looked into it deeper, I realized sometimes it's not just a matter of culture alone. It has become cultural, you know, something that has been institutionalized. So as I, you know, wised up and matured, what I then discover is it all comes back to education, you know, formal, informally. And then I had to sort of like unlearn a lot of things, relearn a lot of things, and re-educate myself.
Right.
And learn to accept, learn to receive, and learn to, you know, admit, which is and acknowledge something that's sometimes very difficult to do for somebody to do to themselves. Once I've discovered that, I said, you know what? I've always been able to fit in, and be relevant or relate myself. And since a lot of my youth was about figuring that out, figuring where I stand or where I belong, what space I'm supposed to be in, that's when I thought, you know what, maybe I can do something about it. So the fact that I grew up with it, it became a topic I'm passionate about because I see so many people being misunderstood. Mm. As simple as, you know, people who like to play grunge music, they were misunderstood back in the 90s, you know, despite having some really eloquent lyrics. You know, Eddie Vedder's lyrics are still some of my favorite lyrics of all time. So
before, let me stop you there. Pearl Jam are perhaps one of the best bands in the world.
There's no debate.
No debate.
No debate. Thank you very much. Yeah. Nirvana fans, I'm sorry.
Fastest selling album of 1992. You know,
there you go. Yeah. There you go. 10.
Yeah. I like you already. Yeah. We can just stop there. No, carry on, please.
But that's what I was saying. So when I realized that, since I knew how tough it is for some people who couldn't make sense of all of this to go through life, that's what I started writing about.
Right.
And then I guess it resonated with people. And then like an echo, it came back to me. I said, okay, you know what? Let's just go along with this and try to find avenues where I could apply spoken word or poetry and not to like show off or show poetry, but to just use it as a tool to get into people and to get in with people. And that's
right.
It.
I mean, the problem was with the word poetry, right? Mm. I mean, I think when I was growing up in particular, you know, you hear that word kind of thrown around at school. Mm. You're like, oh, I don't want to do poetry. I don't want to talk about flowers and stars and love and this, that, and the other. You know, and it becomes one of those uncool things to do, to talk about. Yeah. You know? Until you get to a certain period in your life, I think, for me anyway, where you discover something, you read a piece of poetry, and it can be by anybody, but there is something in there, and the way that it's written that resonates somehow, and you still can't relate. You still can't understand why, but there's just something about those particular words in that particular order that speak to you, right? So when you're writing your pieces, what are you like? Are you drawing from particular topics? Are you drawing from particular emotions? Or are you just, is there times when you just want to rage, rage, rage?
It's the first one, the drawing. See, I do spoken word. Spoken word is a genre of poetry, a subgenre of poetry that was made popular from the States. Yeah. I may be wrong. Your statos can, you know, shoot me down on this. But it became a thing because of how poetry was received in the States. And then back in the 90s, or in the 80s, I think, there was a lot of clamor for poetry and how the education system was saying that people do not appreciate poetry anymore. And some really clever people decided, hey, you know what? Let's make poetry social again. Let's make it communal again. Let's make it part of everyday, part of the common people. So they came up with Poetry Slam.
Yeah.
So it's just a simple idea where taking the concept of poetry for the people, you have people performing poetry to the public, and then you take five judges from the public who preferably haven't attended a poetry slam before, ask these judges to score each slammer 0 to 10 with the only guiding marking principle to be whatever you feel about it. If you feel like it's a 7.285, then so it is. And while you get a lot of bias, the scoring system is then tweaked a bit to eliminate the highest score and the lowest score to reduce the bias. And then what happens is that very gesture is a representation of the local community for that particular slam's response or acceptance to the poems that they see on that night. So if you go to a certain place, maybe hip-hop rapping style poems are not going to be popular, and the opposite of it might be, but you go to maybe somewhere in the Bronx or somewhere where it's more mixed culturally, then you see a lot of multilingual poems that everybody can understand. So what you then have is nobody feels that their voice is lost in all this noise. So spoken word, I guess, became more relevant to the public because people started writing poems that sound as if they speak to each other. Yeah. Like for me, I have a huge passion for music. I know that there is a spoken word category in the Grammys. Leonard Cohen might have won it before, if I'm not mistaken. Baz Luhrmann has won it before, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Baz Luhrmann.
For Sunscreen, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So spoken word is part of us because we all have an oral history. Mm. So spoken word is basically when you write for the stage. You write with the explicit and express intent for it to be heard and consumed live. So it's a stage poem. It's a stage poetry. It's as opposed to classical poetry, which is on the page.
And intimate.
And very intimate. It's a very personalized experience. You may not even get to talk to the poet that wrote the poem that you love for the rest of your life, but spoken word, you get to see the poet right in front of you.
Yeah.
And you get to have an engagement because that's what it is meant to be, and that's why it's strong. That's why it's powerful, because it's visceral. And for you, like when you read the poem and you finally found, like later in your life, that hey, there's this poem that spoke to me. It's because the poem, you know, sounded like you at some point. It had your voice. It had your maybe cadence, or it sounded like you when you were thinking out loud, or when you're reflecting. So spoken word is bringing that out. So when I write, I have to draw from things that I have seen or I have lived. If I haven't, I would have to borrow.
Right.
And when you borrow, obviously people will contend it's not really authentic. It is not. But when you are not writing for yourself, you're writing for others, that's when it becomes relevant. Because I personally believe spoken word is about representation, it's about relevance, and it's about resonance. You have to stand for something. You have to represent something, even if it's nothingness. And then you have to be relevant, because at the end of the day, it's articulating something, it's expressing something. And people don't do that unless they have this sense that whatever I'm saying is important. People need to know. And then sometimes people don't know what they need to know. And then why it's about resonance is because, You know, physics, resonance is basically when two things of different matter are vibrating at the same frequency.
Yeah.
So when you go and watch a live poetry gig and you see somebody doing really cool spoken word stuff and it just speaks to you that you're almost literally shaking with stuff, you don't even think about the poet or the poem anymore. You just feel this rush, this sense of urgency for something that's people resonating with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they do make the effort to come and speak to you after that, it's like it comes back to you. And you, I guess that a certain amount, a sense of obligation comes from there, and you go, you know what, you got to keep doing this because it's not about yourself anymore already. It's not just about yourself anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've made that connection. You've made somebody else resonate. You've made a room resonate. Yeah. Mm. Okay. We have to take a short break, Jamal. When I come back, though, I'd like you to do a little piece if you can.
Yeah, sure.
After this break. Okay, folks, a quick reminder, 0162019000. What is the name of Jamal's EP? Do send your answer over to 0162019000. Don't forget your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
BFM 89.9 at the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jamal Ruslan.
He's a spoken word poet. He's going to be doing a little piece for us in just a couple of minutes. A quick reminder, folks, 0162019000. Number to remember, if you want to take part in the giveaway, we are giving away two single patty sets free of charge from our friends over at My Burger Lab. The question is, what is the title of Jamal's EP? Send your answer along with your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. First maiden at Map Kale Poetry Slam back in 2010.
Yep.
Now you're going to perform a little piece for us right here.
Yes.
Live. I will turn down the music for you. Mm-hmm. Do you want to give a quick introduction or anything, or you just want to go straight to it?
Okay. This poem is by my late father. I wouldn't say I have daddy issues, but I think this is me reaching out, trying to understand him, because I don't think I've had the kind of relationship I would have wanted with someone that I would call a father. Mm. So this poem is about, you know, like an ode or something.
Okay.
Just reaching out to call him back.
Whenever you want, let's go.
Okay. My father and I have a complicated relationship. We both suffer from football like this, and though we both think that life is just another game of football but on a larger pitch, his was a battlefield, while mine was a playground. We both chose red is our color, but while he puts his on with pride, I wear mine with passion. And while many don't see the distinction, what it means is we see things in different definitions when we put our rose-tinted glasses on. You see, he grew old, a United fan, while I grew up a Liverpool supporter, Mancunian scouser, dreamer, believer. He learned magic in a theater while I witnessed miracles in a cathedral. My first match with him was the 96 FA Cup final, where England's best young sides clashed with King Eric going up against God. And as the Spice Boys became nearly men, my father called a toast to the first ever double-double, while McManaman called out to the boy in me. Like any Malaysian boy, the sight of someone in full flight with the ball in his feet and his hair in full pursuit was magic. But magic to my father was watching how grown men rise from the ashes of a plane crash to fly home with glory in memory of their fallen brothers. When you grow up with kamikaze fighter planes for shooting stars and gunpowder for fireworks, magic has less to do with wonder than it is about fire. It is walking on with flames burning on your back, leaving behind the embers of your will as you leave before your time. One time, when we drew 2-2 at Anfield with the former United captain Paul Ince scoring a late equalizer for us, he switched channels immediately after the goal replay. He always did that, leaving the game early, while I wait for the final whistle by myself. And we get worse during World Cups. As the world dances to passes and dribbles, he sambas to La Selecao do Brasilia while I tango to Argentina. Pele, Maradona, Jogo Bonito, La Nuestra. And when the Euros arrive, he comes alive in total football. Well, I go tiki-taka. There was one time where we couldn't afford a TV yet. He made friends with the security guard of an office in a nearby shop lot so that we could sneak in after midnight to catch the live telecast of Euro 96. But he only let me follow on weekends because he thought school was more important. You see, his life followed simple codes. Dennis would lay down the law. George taught him how to be the best. Socrates discussed philosophy and Cruyff showed him how to turn from challenges and become a Johan. And while like all champions, he never misses his subuh and breakfast because that's how champions start their day. And like a champion, he was never really present. And the only times I see his face was during weekly Premier League highlights. The only time I hear his voice was whenever the school gushed about Beckham's latest free kick. The only time we ever shared derbies again was whenever I played football at the polo ground with my United friends. If this was how having a champion as a father, then no wonder I felt like a loser supporting Liverpool all those years. It's bad enough that you don't get to share the joy of winning. You had to feel that you're not good enough for the man who was supposed to champion you. If life was all simple and coded, then why didn't Dennis tell him that the only law he needed to set was stay until the end? Why didn't George teach him that being the best didn't really matter as much as being there? Why didn't Socrates convince him to let go of his ideals and just move on? Why the only thing he picked from Cruyff was to turn away from challenges and leave? Bill Shankly once said that football is not a matter of life and death. It is more serious than that. It's about legacy, about passing on. It's never about the short pass or the long pass. It's about the right pass. And as I wonder, where is my pass? When will I ever get the ball? I realize, like how it was for my father, magic has less to do with wonder for me because I'm tired of wondering if he'll ever show up. Magic is the fire that I breathe out from the furnace of my mouth that burns every single word I say onto your skins for every single word that I didn't get from him. And that is why I still have his number on my phone till today, saving his name under Fergie, wishing that he would take a fiver from his five-a-side with God to call me up and say, Jamal, I didn't stay to the end because I couldn't bear the look in your eyes when I let you down. Being the best mattered more because being there will only remind you of how far I have fallen. When you have spent 20 years of your life holding on to something wrong, the question isn't about letting go. It's about what's left. Because the best of me came before you, and as much as that hurts you, it hurts me more to know that the best of you will come after me. So like all the Mancunians before me, I will not leave without a fight. And even though this battle is already lost, I hope that whatever dying embers of my memories will rest in those angry eyes of yours and light up everything you see. Because we both will have our fair share of comebacks, and that is why you will never walk alone, son. You will never walk alone. And until that day comes, I will wait for the moment when Fowler tees up a volley for me and says, go on, lad, hit it. That one's from your old man. Thank you.
That must have been difficult to write.
Yeah, it was. It took me 2 years to finish it. I got the first half of the poem in a 40-minute writing spurt, and then I spent days and months after that to just, you know, let it come to me, list down all the football references that I would want to put in, try to recall the things that my father said when we were during those times that we were watching football together, which wasn't much, and just try to remember him around football, how he behaved after a football match, before a World Cup, stuff like that. Try to pack it in, because as much as I want to honor my dad, I kind of like thought, hey, it'd be really interesting and cool if I could write a poem and drop in as many football references as I could. So that was it.
I think the beauty of that, though, is that you don't even need to understand football to get the references.
Interesting remark, because I've gotten that exact comment from a lot of people.
Yeah.
They go, I don't follow football, I don't get football, I don't understand a single word you said about football, but I feel you.
Yeah,
and I think that's partly what spoken word is. Sometimes it doesn't really matter if you say things or use words that people might not be familiar with, because if the words come to you because you're drawing from a place that people are familiar with, it doesn't really matter what the language is.
Right.
People can feel it.
Right.
Because the words are coming to you. It's not the other way around. You're not trying to put a word to describe that place. It's the other way around.
I mean, it's like you say, there's that, it's resonating.
Yeah.
You know, there's balance, but there's also imbalance as well. It's this beautiful kind of, yeah, I mean, and the reason it kind of resonates with me is my father passed away recently.
You know, to hear that.
No, it's one of those things, right? He passed away in May. But when you're touching a nerve, you know, without even realizing it, and I'm sat here almost with tears in my eyes, knowing how difficult it is, you know, to talk about people who have passed away. And most people will paint their previous memories in rose-tinted glasses and how beautiful it was and how perfect. It never is, you know. And anyway, we should probably move on a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we should.
Okay, let's do something. I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions.
Okay.
I don't know how we do this. We go from one mood directly to another one, but we're going to have to try and get through this.
We're going to try.
We're going to try, right?
I'm going to go for a historic score.
You're going to... Really?
Yeah.
You don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Let's give it a go, right? So the idea is I have 30 questions here. You try and answer as many of these as you possibly can. Right?
I will do my
correctly,
best. Inshallah.
Correctly. If you don't know the answer, just say skip and we move right along, all right?
Okay.
So it sounds a little bit like this.
Smarty pants.
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 Smarty pants. Smarty pants.
Okay, right. Jamal, your 3 minutes start now. I Surrender and All Night Long were chart hits for which rock band? Rainbow or Led Zeppelin?
Rainbow.
It is. In computing, which what does the L stand for in URL? Locator or latency?
Locator.
It is. You wanted to get zero, right? You failed already. Which vitamin is also known is known to prevent night blindness? Vitamin A or vitamin C?
C.
It's vitamin A. Taphophobia is the fear of being what? Being buried alive or skydiving?
Fear of tofu?
No.
Skydiving?
It's being buried alive, actually, alive. Believe it or not. The rotation of which planet is gradually slowing down? Earth or Venus?
I think it's Venus.
You're right. No, it's Earth. What type of foodstuff is gelato? Pastry or ice cream?
Ice cream.
Yes. Agents 002, 003, and 004 appear in which James Bond film? Painting. Nightfire or Thunderball?
Thunderball.
It is Thunderball, yes. Federico Fellini was famous for his work in which of these arts? Painting or filmmaking?
Fellini? I think it's painting.
It's filmmaking. Allopodo melanoleuca is the scientific name for which animal, the tapir or the panda?
Panda.
Correct. Well done. Known as the liberator of South America, political leader Simon Bolivar became president of which country in 1813, Venezuela or Colombia?
I think it's Colombia.
It's Venezuela.
Oh, I think it's Venezuela.
Which Boeing airliner made its maiden flight in September 1981? The 767 or the 747?
747.
It's the 767. In which century was Joan of Arc burnt at the stake? The 1400s or the 1600s?
I think it's 16.
It's the 14. A muskellunge is what type of creature? A mammal or a fish?
Mammal?
It's a fish. What is the full width of a badminton court in feet? 15 or 20 feet?
20.
Correct. Smriti, is that correct? Smriti is a religious text containing traditional teachings in which religion? Buddhism or Hinduism?
Smriti, sounds great. Hinduism?
Correct. What are the bunches in which bananas are grown known as? Clutches or hands?
Clutches?
It's hands.
Oh.
Brandon Flowers is the lead singer for which band? The Yeah Yeahs or the Killers?
Killers.
Correct. Who played the title role in the 1953 film The Glenn Miller Story? Patrick Swayze or James Stewart?
Stewart.
Correct. Which legendary English outlaw stole from the rich to give to the poor? Guy Fawkes or Robin Hood?
Robin Hood.
Correct. In Greek mythology, who slayed the half-man, half-beast Minotaur, which was kept in a labyrinth? Was it Theseus or Hercules?
Hercules.
It was Theseus. What is the art of hand-making cricket balls called? Pod shaving or luthering?
Pot shaving.
It is. In humans, the condition erythema affects which part of the body, the skin or the heart?
Erythema, skin.
It is indeed, yes. We are out of time. Jamal, we've got to take a short break, but we'll be back to find out how well or not you did just after these messages.
All
folks,
right.
If you miss any part of this show, you can download the podcast, head over to bfm.my, have yourself a good old listen. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm joined in the studio by
Jamal Ruslan.
It's almost time for us to depart, right? But before the break, we had I asked Jamal a whole bunch of questions unrelated, essentially, to what it is he does for a living or just in general.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll do is we'll go through a couple of questions you got wrong first before we punish you by telling you how badly you did or
right.
Well you did. I Surrender and All Night Long with chart hits for which rock band, Rainbow or Led Zeppelin? It was, in fact, Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Which vitamin is known to prevent night blindness? Vitamin A or vitamin C? It is vitamin A. The rotation of which planet is gradually slowing down, Earth or Venus? It is, in fact, Earth. So, out of 22 points, you did score a grand total of... I'll give you a drum roll. Jamal Razlan, you scored 12 points.
I passed.
You passed.
I passed.
You passed.
Malaysians out there, this is where we are at.
Right. So, Jamal, first and foremost, thank you for coming in. Thank you for taking the time. And thank you for performing on the show. I mean, it was lovely.
Thank you.
Genuinely.
You're welcome.
Genuinely touched by that. And I'd like to talk to you more in future, maybe about some other topics and some other stuff. You know, to
we'll
get
love
you back.
That.
That would be great. Having some nice conversations is always very good. So, before I wrap up, though, I know you have an EP out. What's it called?
The Word.
Correct. If you answered correctly, you will, of course, be hearing from us, and you could be winning yourself a 2 single patty sets free of charge from our friends over at My Burger Lab. So what if people wanted to kind of listen to your stuff, see you perform, where can they do that?
Okay, listen to my stuff. You can go to SoundCloud. I have an account. It's go to soundcloud.com/Jamal Razlan or just SoundCloud search me. My full name, you'll find it there. Apparently, I've got a host of videos on YouTube, recorded by people, uploaded by people. I've got one video on Vimeo as well. I got some stuff that's on the public, I say in the commercial space, because I've written advertisements for Milo and
Hotlink.
So you can find my stuff there. But if you want to catch me live, just follow me on my social media. It's Jamal Razlan across Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr. So, as a matter of fact, I have a gig this Saturday night, 14th of January. It's at Bean Brothers in Sunway Damansara. The name of the gig is called Bistro Suka Induka. Bistro Suka Duka, sorry. Also with me is family, Muhammad Zafir's upcoming spoken word poet. So we're going to be performing there. Come for the event. You will enjoy it because it's arts and performances. Other than that, I am currently the business development consultant for Englishja, the best way to learn English currently in Malaysia. Follow us at Englishja on Twitter, on Instagram. You can go to our website. We have it there. We are currently in a nationwide tour. It's called Next 2016, short for Nationwide English Expedition and Trail, where we go around the country and do razor quizzes. We do Speakology, which is a public speaking workshop, and we do English language and communication camps. We have a camp that's going to start for the East Coast zone for Peninsula Malaysia on the 12th of January, which is like a couple of days from now.
Thursday, it is indeed. Mohammed Zafir, we had him on the show not too long ago.
Yes, you did.
Great stuff. Jamal, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Before I wrap up, I have to give some of our friends who are listening at home some silly facts. Did you know that the butterflies you get in your stomach when you see someone you like is actually a stress response caused by adrenaline? Also, if you keep a goldfish in a dark room, it will eventually turn pale. And finally, you don't sneeze when you're asleep because the nerves involved in the sneeze reflex are also resting. So there you go. Three little facts we've learned for today. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamal Razlan, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
It has been that time of night. I've been Rich Bradbury. It's time to say goodnight. Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.